This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we build puentes to connect the POVs and POCs.
For talking?
Oh, no. Siri, get on out of the conversation. Nobody asked you. Girl. You're not sure of anything.
Siri doesn't know shit. So I'm going to start us off this week by asking you guys a very simple question.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. What was the last bit of or piece of self-care that you did for yourself? When and what was it?
Ooh. Survey says,
1995
does not register.
No, seriously, self-care. When was the last time you took care of yourself? What did you do, Michael?
Wow. Saying no to some projects, and it was hard as hell. It's stuff that I really wanted to do, but
when was this?
Recently, like in the last month or so.
Okay. And what made you feel like you had to do that? What brought you to that point?
My sanity. Like I've been going for so long with projects and I love it, but my body is human. Imagine that. And yeah.
You know.
I'm just like
Michael Garcia, you are a superhero. No way, dude.
In our eyes, you're a superhero. But yes. You just couldn't do it, so you...
Underdog.
And you said no, and it was hard for you.
It was, yeah. But it gave me some moments of much-needed rest. I'm not going to say it was easy. Like, it was hard to make myself just sit there and do nothing.
Right. And thinking all the while, oh, I could be doing...
Mm-hmm. Or just thinking of things that I have that are further down the line that I have to be working on, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I'll tell you.
It's an unfun kind of self-care, but it's something. Oh.
That's not the kind of self-care I was going for, Michael. I was talking about, like, you know, getting some strippers and getting a keg. No.
Dave.
Just kidding. What about you, Kim?
Honey. Okay, so, Michael, that made me think of also another pathetic story of self-care. But I said no to a crazy person. I just
now, and that's huge for you.
I said no to crazy, and I said, and because my spiritual center had a friend go have a little bipolar moment, maybe
in a service, during a service,
kind of. Uh-huh. Yeah, he went off script and started doing his own thing, you know, with a guest speaker and the guest speaker, and he had been told anyway. He was asked not to participate. He still showed up for choir practice and insisted that he basically hijacked the meeting and wouldn't let anybody get anything done. So,
when you say hijack the meeting,
like he was on his own agenda and trying to push his agenda and would not listen to reason to anybody else. Being aggressive and not letting them practice. My son and I did not make it, because there was an accident. Anyway, I missed that drama, but it's associated with me because now we're like, they were like, oh, it'll be fine to have choir rehearsal at the church. And I was like, no, I'm setting my boundary for myself. And I want us to like not be where he knows we would be for a couple of weeks. And they were like, oh, if you lock the door and everything. And I was like, I really feel like I've been working on this in counseling. And I feel like this is a boundary I need to draw for myself to not have this person have access to us for a couple of weeks.
No, that's good. No, I don't think that's pathetic. I think that's, boundaries are a huge part of self-care.
Okay, good.
For some of us, like, that we need that. Like, I'm terrible at setting boundaries, and so.
Yeah, boundaries are essential to self-care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, self-care. Well, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're not easy to draw.
It's just sad that, you know, there's always, like, that type of crazy drama with me. Mm-hmm. Like, You have a history. People that aren't mentally stable. And I don't judge anybody because I'm not mentally stable either. But I'm looking for crazy that goes with mine. If your crazy is a little off.
Your crazy and my crazy do not mix.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You got to be in my dimension of crazy. Anyway.
So I'm hearing, because you didn't really answer, I mean, that's a sort of self-care, but it sounds like both of you guys are in urgent need of more self-care lately.
I've been playing word cookies.
Is this an app?
No, like, they give you a circle of letters.
What is this? Where do you get this?
It's an app. It's a little app.
Oh, it is an app. Okay.
Yeah. It's a little app on the phone. Mm-hmm. And when I need my sanity, I just go to Word Cookies.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's a circle of letters. And you in these little boxes, you know, it's four-letter words, sometimes eight-letter words.
Yeah, and you're great with four-letter words. Shut up. All right, Granny.
That's such
a grandma.
But it's a way for me to isolate and filter out.
No, that's great. That's great.
All the craziness.
It's true. Sometimes it is those little things that help you escape.
Yeah, I just need a little escape.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. Still feel like I'm keeping my mind active. You know, I don't want to be completely mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
But maybe we do need to be mashed potatoes.
I don't know. I don't feel like I have time.
It's great to be french fries, but sometimes you got to be a mashed potato.
No, honey. I feel like I don't got time. I don't got time to be mashed
Make
potatoes.
Make time.
Yeah, that's the whole point of self-care is that it is the time aspect should be removed. That time pressure should be removed, you know? Yeah. I think that's really what self-care is about, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm big on self-care.
Yeah, tell us about yours. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
You
know,
when was this?
Yeah, no, I self-care really in little doses daily and definitely on the weekend. Daily, my self-care it manifests itself by me not bringing my work computer home anymore.
Wow.
Like I used to, you know, bring my computer home every day and do a little bit of work on it because, you know, there's always something else you got to get done in this profession. And now part of my self-care is, nope, that computer stays in the office. I'll see it tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. And if it's not done,
what about emails?
We'll figure it out. Nope. Mm-mm. I don't look at emails. I don't look at any of this. When at 4:30, when I leave, I go to the gym, another version of self-care, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I go and I have that me time, even though I don't want to do it every day. God knows I don't want to do it every day, but that is self-care. And then, you know, on the weekend, I have more destructive self-care. So, you know, like, for example, no, I've really gotten
binge
in
drinking.
No. In fact, I have been taking care of myself by not drinking.
Oh, good for
as
you.
Much. Like, I've got a little drink.
I knew there was some type of superlative.
Well, here's the deal. I don't drink every day on the weekend. Like, I used to drink Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes Thursday, right? Now it's just down to a couple of shots of mezcal with you guys on Sunday.
Aww. For SOSOSOS.
And then sometimes, like last night, I went to a movie by myself, date of one.
Go ahead, honey.
I said, you know what? I'm tired, but you know what? I need to take care of myself right now. I need a date. No one wants to go to this movie with me, so I'm going to go by myself.
Oh, what movie did you see?
I went to go see The Joker.
Ooh,
it was really good.
Yes. So, I'm glad to hear from a film.
Oh, it was a great film. And it was a perfect date because I didn't get any arguments. And, you know, he wasn't a cheap date either. He
True.
Was
well, my question is, did your date put out?
Oh
he put
Lord.
Out.
Oh, my God.
He always puts out.
Lord.
Slut. No. But, you know, and I was cognizant of the fact that, like, you know, I'm here by myself and I'm really enjoying this being by myself. And I had no problem ordering my drinks and watching my movie, ordering my snacks.
Awesome.
And it was great. So, you know, I guess my point is this, you know, I now am very aware of the importance of doing self-care both in some form daily, but then especially once a week, a really big self-care. I'm a big advocate of that.
So what's your big self-care?
So normally my big self-care would be like, say, a Saturday night.
Okay.
It would be something like going to my favorite restaurant.
Okay.
Something as small as that, you know?
Yeah.
Doing nada, watching soccer or whatever I want to watch, watching some Casa de las Flores.
No, that's awesome, Dave. That's what I need to start that way.
It's helped me. It's helped me survive.
Mm-hmm. I do.
It has helped me to survive this year.
Yeah. Well, you help me remember. I do. I've been going to the gym.
Yes.
Which has been really difficult because I there's no way I'm going after work. Like when once I leave that building, I just want to cocoon and cut shit out the world. So the last thing I want to do is be around a bunch of annoying people who are sweating and smelling and like. So I've been going
unless
in the morning.
Hot.
So I've been going in the morning, which means since I get to work at 7, I'm getting up at 4.
Holy.
Getting to the gym by 4:30 and working out and showering and then going to work.
That's amazing.
It is. I will say it's great because as soon as I leave that gym, I've already burned my calories that I set myself to burn for the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's already done. The rest of it's just gravy. But man, that getting up early.
You must feel a great sense of accomplishment, too.
It does.
But what time do you go to bed, honey?
That's the thing.
No, tell me. I want
to
know.
I'm a night owl.
So I know.
I'm a night owl. And so it's hard for me to go to bed super early. I get in bed by 10. I'm usually not asleep till like 11.
Wow. So that's why it's so painful to get up at 4.
Yeah. But like my brain just won't shut off.
I get you.
Well, 6 hours is not great. It could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now when I get home from work and I'm shutting off, I do usually take like a nap.
Yeah.
Like a 30-minute nap, and like it's like deep sleep. So that's some self-care right there. It's just like,
do you really listening to really my body? Quality square.
It's like
quality sleep.
It's insane how deep I fall asleep.
Wow.
You know, there's a whole lot of literature and thought now about how our sleep process is all fucked up, and we're really supposed to take naps in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We're supposed to be taking naps like, you know, cat takes naps, you know, and we're physical beings and our bodies are meant to take naps. And because of our capitalistic society, you know, we've got it ingrained in us that, no, you're supposed to work 8 hours a day and be awake, you know, 14 mm-hmm. hours a day and blah, blah. So like, I'm wondering if just listening to you when you nap,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, obviously there's no way for you to take a nap at your job.
You could for lunch.
Or could you?
At lunchtime, could you take a nap?
Where?
Eat a bad... Go to your car.
No.
No, you get 30 minutes duty-free lunch.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You're supposed to.
You're supposed to by law.
I don't.
He says I don't.
Michael, by law, dude.
There's...
I take my 30 minutes. Well, no, I don't.
I can't. Time. I'm just telling you, I can't.
Yeah,
I just can't. So
yeah, and that's a which is sham in itself. 30-minute lunch.
Yeah, that's
come
that's,
on
that's
now,
ridiculous.
Y'all.
That's like just enough time
that's
to like
standing throw in the line in your at face. The fast food.
Yeah, if you're you know our students at the school I teach, you know, 30 minutes, it's just enough time to get through the lunch line and then about 5 minutes to eat. You know,
right.
It's just so wrong. But anyway, yeah, I get that. But I'm wondering if maybe you could not take the nap after work and then maybe go to sleep just sooner. Then maybe you can sneak in a couple of more hours of sleep for the gym.
I literally, like, I get home and I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
So like sometimes I'll even like not want to eat dinner because I'm just like I'd much rather sleep. So I get home not having had a lunch and I'll just like pass out.
Michael, do you find yourself falling asleep? Do you find yourself falling asleep during the day?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just at the end of the day.
You got to do something with the sleep stuff that you got going on, too, because you know?
It's true. No, I know.
Get some type of oxygen, maybe even a humidifier or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so you get more quality sleep when you are sleeping.
Yeah, sleep. True. Quality sleep is one of the number one things as far as self-care is concerned. And I think all Americans are deficient in that category.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Kim, I mean, your situation is completely different because you're narcoleptic.
Yeah. Well,
so what is that looking like for you?
Well, I have been bad because when you have a sleeping disorder, you know, you really have to be disciplined to take your medication that helps you get, like for me, I'm really not taking my deep sleep medicine like I should. And it's because I have to give it time. I have to allot 6 hours for sure of sleep by law. You know, I sign paperwork that says by law, I cannot operate a vehicle within 6 hours of having that medicine.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I'm up doing stuff because I can't get my work. I'm trying to get my son to be independent and do his homework on his own, but he is not self-motivated. And so I'm at this stage where, like, do I just let him not get his homework done and get in trouble and, you know, just...
Yeah, pay the consequence.
Pay the consequence that way? Or do I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, maybe... I mean, not consistently, but let him know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like... My husband and him are at home right now scrambling, doing the homework fight because he didn't do any of it this week. And I wanted to get some of my stuff done, you know, being in a new place and every new school. And I didn't check in on him. And of course he didn't do not a lick. And so he's having a cram tonight. And he's smart enough that if he could do it all in one day anyway, if he would just, and I've told him this time and time again. So maybe it is just like, let him not have his homework in.
Mm-hmm. What would the teacher do?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe some of it is a pride thing.
We don't know. But we know statistically that little boys of color who don't do their homework usually have worse outcomes in schools than boys who are not of color who don't do their homework. So I say that, and I'm not casting aspersions on the school he goes to or the teachers that teach him, but I'm just talking statistically speaking. Yeah. Well, I am scared. Teacher. That's good. Because we know also that black teachers just by being there help black students. Yeah. But I'm always fearful of little black boys and girls who aren't doing their homework.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Not beyond they're not just doing their academic work, but because of the other ramifications of how they're perceived, how they're labeled, stigma.
Yeah. Well, what if you had a conversation with the teacher and you're like, "Hey, I'm doing this. I would it'd be great if maybe you could like play it up and like let them know that you know this is his responsibility. If he says, "Oh, my mom didn't." Because that's the thing. Like, I notice when I have students who don't do their homework, it's always like, they always try to put the blame on their parents. Well, my mom
was really busy. That was his excuse.
Yeah.
Well, mom, you were really busy. We were really busy. Son, there was plenty of time that you could have.
Yeah. So maybe have that conversation with her. The teacher.
She.
And just be like, you know, this is what I'm doing. Just so you know, you know. I just wanted to, this is a little experiment and, you know,
let's double team this.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's work as a team because teachers like it when you do that. You know, I've had for the first time in my over 16 years at the school I work, a parent come in to observe their child.
Wow.
To sit and literally sit in the class with their child. Why is this child the way he is? I want to see him in school.
Wow.
And I was applauding.
Yes. Yeah. Go, mother. Mama.
She even brought dad up in there.
Whoa.
She made dad take a day off.
Now, well, here's the thing, though. Like,
did
the child act the way they normally act?
Oh, he was a terror. Because he was pissed off that all of that was happening. That it had come to that point, and he was acting out, and Dad let him know, yeah, this ends today. Dad said, is the cell phone a problem? I said, oh, it sure is. He said, give me the phone.
Yes.
I mean, it was like that. But, I mean, you know, I the reason why I appreciated that, because it's like, it's me working with the parent, mm-hmm. as opposed to the way it normally is, which is almost like working against each other in a lot of cases, it's, you know,
true.
Or the child pitting the child, the parent against the teacher.
Oh, right.
That they do a lot too.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
you gotta be smart about it. She
doesn't understand me, and she's a bad teacher. She's just a bad teacher.
She doesn't make us do anything.
Yeah.
We don't have homework. Right.
Well, when I taught kindergarten and pre-K, those parents are all up there all the time. So that was kind of foreign to me until I started working with older kids. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, because in pre-K, hey, like they're always like hovering, and you have a conversation with them every day because they pick up their kids every day.
Mm. Right.
And you're like, hey, so-and-so did this and this and this and hasn't done this. And like, it gets done.
It gets on. It yeah. gets done.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, parents are just more invested with that little.
Yeah.
And then they just, I don't know.
They get tired.
Well, they need their self-care too.
True.
You know, they need their time too. I mean, we have to remember that parents, just like we are overextended and overworked and overstressed and the whole gamut, and our students too.
Yeah.
I mean, I as you were talking about your son and homework, the first thought came to my mind is like, well, why does he have so much damn homework? Well, because we, you know, this is the system with which we operate. You know, we have all these measures and these matrices that we're trying to get them to. And the only way to really do it in this time crunch that we're in is to give them homework. I get it.
Right.
But is that really the best interest of the child, you know? Right. And there's a whole, you know, line of reading about that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was thinking of, too, is, you know, what are our kids doing for self-care? And do they even understand that concept yet? Or, you know, what does self-care look like for children?
Well, I think for them, it's instant gratification. Be it through playing games on their phone or slacking off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I think that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like when they can't cope, they just turn to that. So.
The cell phone.
Yeah.
Video games, you know. But you know what? I have seen my son do some art work or, well, I guess, you know, YouTube, the music, you know, looking at music videos and things like that. So that's encouraging when I see that, you know, that he's doing music and art. But I don't know. Some kids have too much self-care, and that's they're very selfish
exactly.
and self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And then there's other kids who are raising their brothers and sisters and are just as taxed as their parents.
True.
So
that's very true.
They don't have time yeah. for self-care.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I was mentioning earlier was I'm more along the lines of you have kids that fall into self-preservation instead of self-care. And that's when they shut down in class.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't do this work, or I'm embarrassed that I can't do this work, or whatever. And right. so that's when they turn to distract you with behavior or other things, because it's like, that's, you know, they're preserving their ego.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think that's what a lot of kids are doing nowadays.
Yeah, I could see that, too.
Wow.
What would you guys love to do for self-care?
On vacation.
I was going to say, you have not been on a vacation.
I would like to go on vacation.
Yeah, if time and money weren't of an obstacle, what would it be?
Probably since one of the Bushes was president, right?
Yeah, I would want to go to one of the islands, you know, where I could be on the beach, walk on the sand, take in the sunlight without it being scorched. You know,
like in Texas,
have some breeze, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe even just going to California, you know.
No, mm-hmm. You catch on fire. too soon.
Oh,
very much too soon. What about Mexico, Kim?
It doesn't have to be out of the country. But I would like to go somewhere with the perfect climate. I don't know. I mean, 85 degrees or below. And maybe somewhere that has a breeze and lots of trees. So I could, like, have a little picnic by the lake and read. Mm-hmm. You know, have time to just read a book.
I mean, the feeling.
Just like, oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. I can't even finish a book that my friends have written. You know, I have friends that have written books, you know, that I haven't finished. It's embarrassing. Like,
you're not alone, girl. There's a lot of us out here. Oh my gosh. What about you, Michael? Same question back to you then. Time and money is no obstacle, but you, what would you do for the ultimate self-care?
Self-care. I would, so money's no object. I would get a massage every week. I would get a chef to make super healthy meals for me every day. I want to make, you know, treat my body better. What about you, Dave?
I mean, I do take a good, pretty good care of myself yearly, too, with my trips to Mexico. You know, that's kind of a recentering time. I guess, honestly, the best self-care that I would really want for myself is to find a job that I went to every day that fed my soul as opposed to drained my soul. No, and I mean very. I know it sounds very dark.
We're educational juicers.
Yes, that's going to be the first line of your letter of resignation.
I don't say that to be flippant at all. I don't, and you know that's not to even say that there aren't joys in the job, right?
Yes, of course.
But let's be candid when we say that it is a soul sucking adventure, and that's the nature of the job, because those children need filling up, and they are filled up by you and your soul. Like, that is where it comes from. And it would be really nice and self-protecting to go to a place where my soul is filled up for a change, as opposed to being depleted daily. So that's really the biggest for me. And I do all these little things daily and weekly to kind of nibble around the edges of self-care. Like, oh, you know, I had a horrible 8 hours, but by golly, I had a good hour after that. You know,
I mean, it's like, hey, that's something, honey.
You're getting something, right? But overall, I would like to spend my 8 hours pleasantly as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Man,
I hear you.
I mean, I get a lot. But it does take a lot of energy. I don't know that it's soul draining for me, but it is physically exhausting. It is energetically exhausting because you do have to be such an entertainer.
Right.
You're competing with iPads.
What are those?
Yeah, I was like, iPods. Kids. Let me correct that. iPads.
Kids don't have those anymore.
Yeah, I mean, iPhones. I mean, and it's, you've got to be on your game. You got to know your stuff. You got to be ready. You know, you've got to be watching behavior.
Costume changes.
You got to be therapist, behavior specialist.
Lip sync for your life.
Yes, you are on. The lights are on. The stage, the heat is on,
but nobody's home.
So true.
Yeah
So that's my answer. Right. and it's a big answer, because it's like, you know, we've had this conversation before. That's too true. You know, it's like self-care, it's like this cute term almost that we've come up with, like survival techniques.
And it's almost, you know? It's almost flippant. And people use it now. It's like, oh, self-care. I'm going to.
Teachers love using that term, don't they? It's a big in our school.
We do.
Oh,
self-care.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
They'll throw it out, and then they make it so much harder for you to do self-care.
Yes.
But
guys, meanwhile, we really want you to take care of yourself, but also you need to do this, 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 this by four.
On your break, the grades are due.
Yeah, but teachers love that term self-care a lot. But, you know, I think the bigger way to think of it is just like Americans in general need to take, we need to take better care of ourselves in this country in every respect, like what we eat, how we spend every hour of our day, how much sleep we're getting, how much quality time we actually spend with our loved ones. Like our whole way of looking at life is geared towards the opposite of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw this meme once, and it was talking about, like, you know, you work yourself to the bone for most of your life so that you can afford to pay for your health that deteriorates because you worked so hard all of your life. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's so true.
Yeah, it is.
Especially this profession. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and others too. You
know? Yeah.
Also, music.
Yes.
So music. Mm. I think music is, I think, a piece of self-care that just about everybody on the planet can agree with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go to a live concert. I mean, that also is something that really feeds my soul. I think sometimes it depresses me because I'm like, oh my God, I would love to be there. I mean, not in the famey way, but just doing what I love and my passion on stage, you know?
I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
But... Absolutely. Man, it's, I don't know. It's hard to just do that.
I mean, me, even just like for me, listening to music in the car, when I'm at the grocery store, I have my AirPods in, I'm listening, tuning out the real world.
Absolutely.
And like, it's soothing.
It is so soothing.
Like for me lately, I made this playlist, with Café Tacuba songs. That are very, and like all, they're all having to be like very like existential and like talking about like your place in the universe and things like that.
Aww.
And like it helps. It's almost like little mantras.
Yes, you know? Yes. Mm-hmm. I need to start listening to those again because honestly, as a music teacher, sometimes I just crave absolute silence.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I will, when my son's not in the car, there's no radio going, and I'm just enjoying the silence. I mean, sometimes it's just having a moment of not having to interact with anything.
Yeah.
Just
be.
Just.
I mean, obviously, I listen to things that, you know me. You know I listen to like this crazy wide variety of music, but... some days it's just like oldies that I know nobody else would appreciate.
Aww.
People would be like, you listen to that?
Aww.
And the fact that like it's music that I know only I enjoy makes it that much more satisfying. You know what I mean? And it's, and when you're by yourself and you're like, this is my space, my time, my music. And I got like, you know, some Rolling Stones from 1965 on. You know what I mean? Or like some old fucking rock and roll. You know,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, me putting on some classical music, like something from the Romantic era, and it's got the sweeping chromaticism and all of that. I love listening to that. You know, I don't get a lot of it. I should probably demand more of that in my car. Some, you know, instead of just putting on bad pop. For my son, because he wants to listen to it, I should be like, you know what, let's alternate. And actually, you know, my husband's been doing that, he said, in the morning, like he's exposing him to a new album a day or something.
No, that's good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Our new, not a full album, but hey, here are some songs from this artist and stuff.
Maybe the concept of the album. So back in the day.
Album? What's an album? Yeah,
we had these things.
Oh, yeah.
Called albums.
And yeah, that's right. I'm what it antiquating.
Was. No. We're making fun of the fact that like.
They don't.
We don't listen to them anymore.
Yeah. They really don't. I mean, honestly, they don't even know. The concept of a disc anymore.
That's true.
Like they just like what? A what? See, I remember I when I made that discovery too. I must have been about 2007, 2008. I can't remember. And I was like, you know, because I keep a computer in the classroom with you know, music on it. Lots of music. At least I used to, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, students, kids, if you have any CDs you want to come in and burn onto into the library, the iTunes library, and just have them in the library for when, you know, we'll just keep collecting music in this library and listen to it when we're working.
Yeah.
And they stopped me in their confused faces and they said, on a what,
mister? Oh, no.
You know, bring in a CD and we can burn it into the... A what? It's this... never mind.
Oh, Lord.
Like, that's when I knew it was over. I missed it. And you guys know iTunes no longer exists either.
That's true.
Let me ask you this question about self-care. Do you think that in the age of Cheeto, how do you guys take care of yourself when it comes to navigating the world of Cheeto and the news of Cheeto, staying abreast of what's going on without, you know, while still taking care of yourself? How do you guys navigate that?
You guys.
Well, I mean, you're in the know. You follow what's going on.
I have to insulate myself from watching the... I do better if I listen to it on the radio. But watching the news, for me, I have to insulate myself from that.
Same.
It's just that the visual images stay with me, and I can't, you know, I can't shake them, and it makes me full of rage.
Yeah. See, for me, the audio is just as painful as the video.
Oh.
So for me, reading, there's a bit more of a distance for me. And so I read a lot of stuff online.
That's a good idea.
And then some things I'll just read the headline and I'll skip it because, like, yeah, that's really dumb and stupid that this creature did that. But like, that is such a small drop in the bucket compared to these other huge issues that he has caused. Like, I'm not going to waste my energy getting infuriated by, yes, it's stupid and it's like dumb things that usually what he says.
So in other words, like the Twitter tweets and the distractatory things that he does daily, you don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
You're keeping your eye on the bigger prize.
I mean, I pay attention to it peripherally. Like I know.
He'll see the headline.
And I'm like, okay, I got the whole gist of that.
Yeah, we got the gist of the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll read more articles about the more bigger issues and, like, maybe, I don't know, just maybe what can we do to counteract that.
Yeah, that's, I think, a pretty smart way to operate. I mean,
I can't look at his face.
No.
Right. Oh, yeah. I can't. That is something I have refused to do. I scroll past it.
Looking at his face causes this almost visceral disgust.
I was thinking the same.
It is like this subconscious.
It's Pavlovian.
It's just like this. You want to vomit in your mouth instantly.
Yeah, see, I'm like Pitbull. I'm like, I just want to, like,
and that's just from
tear into him.
Yeah, that's just from looking at him, not even listening.
Exactly.
So I get that. But, you know, you do have to stay in abreast of what's happening.
Oh, right.
And that's where I think reading is important. You know, I think it's a important part of, because, you know, there are people, lots of people in the States who self-care by just ignoring politics altogether.
I did that for a while.
That is not a good thing to do. Because that's how people maintain control of you, is by keeping you unawareshed of what's going on.
Yeah, they slipped a lot of anti-female stuff in there while I was desensitized.
Well, I mean, I think all of those prior things pale into what's coming down the pike now, next, you know, especially with these anti-abortion laws that we've talked about before on the show.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court now stacked.
And the federal courts.
Now, the federal courts being stacked. You know, I think that we haven't seen the worst yet. So in terms of women's issues, we're going to be in a very interesting place. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be law-wise, we're going to be in a place that's totally different than where the country is actually at. The majority of the country is going to have these thoughts about reproductive health and women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the majority of the people is going to be over here, let's say to the left, for lack of a better description. Meanwhile, we're going to be governed by all these Cheeto appointee people who are using their religious tests or their bigoted test as, you know, in constructing their own view of morality and mm-hmm. what this country should be, and they're not going to be the majority of the population.
Well, that's something new. I mean, it's never.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
It's never that, but I don't know. We're going to fight and revolutionize. we have to.
Yeah, I think if once that comes to be, that there's going to be no other option but like people to rise up.
And what do you mean by rise up? Rise up?
Like, I can't predict, but I mean, there's so many different ways.
We're not gonna take it.
Singing Twisted Sister songs.
As Kim puts on her curly blonde wig, crawling across the hood of the car here in the studio.
No, we ain't gonna take it. We haven't paid for that song. So
yeah, I'm sorry. I know.
But what was that Hatebreed song you were gonna sing for us, by the way?
It was I Will Be Heard.
How does it go again?
I will be heard. It's really awesome.
I told you we'd get her to sing it.
No, but I just feel when people revolt and just say, I'm just not going to do it, and people just go on strike and refuse to do shit. Just like, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like the founding of the country, right? The Boston Tea Party.
Exactly.
You know, you had people saying, I'm not paying that for that tea. I'm not.
Yeah. It's like, no taxation without representation. Maybe we'll all just stop paying our taxes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
There you go.
That's might be, hey, hit them in the pocket. That's what all that matters to them. So,
hey, I will drink to that.
Don't say that. I mean, I don't know about that part.
Kim's like, taxes. I never pay my taxes.
I ain't ready to go to jail, y'all. I ain't gonna F with the IRS. No, I'm just kidding. If it came down to that, I would. Honestly, I just at some point, we're gonna have to say, you know, no, we're not taking this. And I think I'm feeling close. Like,
she's close to the
I'm
edge.
Close.
I'm not taking it anymore. Yeah. Hey, that would be the most ultimate example of self-care, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's true.
We need to take care of ourselves, America.
Yep. Before we have to revolt, we got to have nice, clear skin, no bags under our eyes because we were getting rest.
That's right. Time to lotion elbow and knee.
We are eating healthy, so we're strong enough to topple the system.
Yeah.
So everyone out there, take care of yourselves and each other.
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen, join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon. Or email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
You know, I just want to have, you know, moisturized skin. So I don't sag too early, you know.
Y'all are fine. Black don't crack.
What?
Black don't crack.
Oh, honey. Yes. In certain climates, yes, I have found black does crack.
In what climate?
Chicago. Oh, my God.
Really?
Mm-mm, I couldn't take it. Mm-mm.
But it's, I would think it'd be.
Not with the silky brown skin. Nope. And God said, let there be sound.
Oh, Lord.
It's like a black Sean Connery.
That's a perfect description.
Oh, my God. That was Sean Puffy Combs Connery.